everyone, I hope you're all doing so well, and welcome back to the Criminal Makeup Podcast. Each episode, we dive into the minds of some of the worst criminals in history, and today we are talking about the case of Domina Cherry. And oh boy, Domina Cherry, she was a piece of work. And Domina Cherry is not actually her real name, if you hadn't guessed. Her real name was Sarah. Domina Cherry was just an online persona, and Domina meaning dominatrix. And Sarah, from the outside, was just your average teenage girl, living her best life. However, she was hiding a dark secret. She was absolutely obsessed with serial killers. And we're not just talking about a normal level of interest in true crime like you and me. Sarah was absolutely infatuated with serial killers. She was one of those people that fangirled over serial killers. She had crushes on them. She worshipped the ground that they walked on. And then one day, something happened in Sarah's life that made her want to become a serial killer herself. And this is when Sarah set in motion a plan on how she was going to become a serial killer. And her grand plan was to lure men on dating apps, promise them wild sex before killing them. So that is why she created her online persona, Domina Cherry. Her plan was to murder one man every day until she became the most prolific serial killer in history. So yeah, today's case is pretty crazy. So let's just jump in. So Sarah was born in 2002, an exact date of birth is not actually known, but oh my God, she was only born in 2002. I don't cover many people that are born after the year 2000. Oh my God, that is so crazy. That is so young. What the hell? And Sarah was born to her parents in Switzerland before later moving to the state of Bavaria in Germany. And I really hope that that is how you pronounce it. Bavaria. And this is actually the first time we are going to Germany on this channel. And as for Sarah's last name, we actually don't know her last name. She goes by Sarah M. Yeah, I just don't know. I didn't know this, but Germany has very strict privacy laws. But because of her age, because she was so young, her surname, her date of birth, just a lot of detail about her background has never been released to the public. So yeah, I don't know if that's the case for all German cases or it was just because of her age. I don't know. So I don't know too much about her background, but I was able to find out a little bit, and from what I could tell, her childhood was pretty normal. She had really great, caring, loving parents who she got on with. She got really good grades at school. She had a lot of friends at school. She had a little pet bunny rabbit, which she absolutely adored, and it just seemed like a normal childhood, you know, nothing out of the ordinary. However, when Sarah moved into her teenage years, this is when everything started to go downhill. So Sarah became like your stereotypical rebellious teenager, but she kind of took it a bit further than that. But she was like that typical rebellious teenager. She stopped listening to her parents. She started skipping school and like having a little bit of an attitude. She liked to do things to annoy her parents. But Sarah also started to have a lot of problems with the other kids at school. She started falling out with her friends all the time. She was incredibly rude. She could just not get on with people. And I feel like we can all probably like relate to that. I feel like we've all known someone like that. Someone that just nobody likes because they're so rude and they're so arrogant. And it's kind of hard to feel sorry for people like that because it's almost like they bring it on themselves. Like they're just so rude to absolutely everybody. They're so mean. And Sarah was one of those people. And she actually did face a lot of bullying because of the way she was. And I never condone bullying. No, never. However, Sarah actually kind of liked the bullying, which is so weird to say because who the hell likes bullying? She almost thrived on people not liking her. She did things even more to draw attention to herself. And it's almost like she was poking people, like not physically poking people, but you know what I mean? She was like physically poking people, goading them into bullying her. That sounds so weird to say, but that is kind of what she was doing. Sarah liked to play the villain. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very significant in today's case. Other ways that she would rebel is that she would go against the dress code at school. So she clearly didn't have a school uniform. I don't know what countries do have school uniform. I know obviously we do here in the UK. So the idea of wearing like just normal, regular clothes to school is so alien to me. But clearly the school that Sarah went to, she didn't have uniforms, so she was going completely against the school dress code. Like, she was always wearing ripped jeans, which is like, oh my God, ripped jeans? Sometimes these dress codes, I think, are kind of ridiculous. And she would wear really heavy eye makeup again. Oh my God, shock, horror. And Sarah also started listening to heavy metal music. And you know how much that winds some people up. Some people take so much offense to heavy metal music. It's like, oh my God, you must worship Satan. It's just sometimes so ridiculous. But again, Sarah was kind of only doing these things to draw attention to herself. And the other kids at school would ask her why she was dressing a certain way. And in response to this, Sarah would say, oh, it's because I earn a lot of money from being a prostitute. That's actually what she would say. She would say that she was a prostitute. Those are her words, which again, just shows you that she likes to do things for shock value. She likes attention. And then as Sarah started entering her later teenage years, she's now 16. This is when the problems like really started to escalate, because let's be realistic, somebody dressing a certain way, it's not a big deal. Somebody wearing heavy eye makeup, again, not a big deal. Their taste in music, it's not a big deal. However, Sarah started experimenting with drugs. It started off with marijuana, but then it soon turned into heavy drugs, and she started taking ecstasy quite often. And she was eventually arrested for her drug use. And when she was arrested, the officers that arrested her and processed her in the police station and stuff, she was really, really aggressive towards them. She was lashing out physically, and she was also being verbally like abusive back to these officers. She was calling these officers sons of bitches, lousy bastards. Like, she was just saying things that are going to get her in more trouble. And I don't know what led to her sudden change in behavior. After her arrest and her problems with the law and drugs and stuff, Sarah did start to self-harm. She would talk about self-harm a lot as well to her parents and her friends. She would always talk about hurting herself, and she would have cuts all up her arm. And her parents were really, really worried about her. One day, her mom walked into her bedroom and found a rope dangling from the ceiling. And after this, Sarah was admitted into a psychiatric facility, and she was ordered to undergo an extended stay. And when she was there, she was evaluated and assessed by doctors, and she was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. It was also said that she suffered hallucinations due to her drug use. And she was also said to have, quote, emotional disturbance, which whatever that means, I'm not quite sure. But I just want to point out, there is obviously a lot of stigma around mental health and borderline personality disorder. There are so many people all over the world that suffer with borderline personality disorder, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. And just because you have borderline personality disorder, like, it doesn't mean that you're going to become a criminal or a killer or anything like that. Like, I just know that there's a lot of stigma around that, and I just want to clear that up. But Sarah, she's now in the right place. She has a diagnosis and she can get treatment. However, when she is at the psychiatric facility, let's just say that her stay was not exactly smooth sailing. She actually tried to convince another patient there to commit suicide. Thankfully, the other patient didn't commit suicide. There was no harm that came from that. But this was very concerning to the doctors, and they extended her stay because I think they realized that her condition was a little bit more serious than maybe they were originally thinking. The doctor said that she had destructive tendencies, and she ended up staying in the psychiatric facility for a few months. And over the next couple of years, Sarah would be in and out of the psychiatric hospital. And then when she was aged 17, that is when she was released from hospital for the final time. And this is when her next dark and twisted obsession began. And that was an obsession with serial killers. So we all know how important skincare is, right? And it can sometimes take a lot of work keeping your skin looking young and healthy. Well, that is where today's sponsor, OneSkin, comes in. OneSkin is here to help you simplify your skincare routine. They are dedicated to skin longevity. Their topical supplements make it easy to help your skin stay younger and healthier without all of those extra steps. And how do they do this? By using their own special ingredient, scientifically proven to reduce the buildup of the notorious zombie cells that contribute to skin aging. Fewer zombie cells means healthier, younger looking skin with fewer lines and wrinkles, reduced age spots, and a stronger natural barrier. Something that's especially important this time of year. OneSkin is more than skincare. It's about skin longevity, targeting the root causes of aging to help you look and feel your best at every age. Get started today with 15% off using code CRIMINALMAKEUP at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code CRIMINALMAKEUP. And at checkout, please mention that this show sent you. It's time to expect more from your skincare routine. Invest in the health of your skin with OneSkin. And she literally became obsessed with serial killers. Like I said in the intro, it wasn't out of like a morbid curiosity or an interest like we all have. It was a true full-blown obsession. She was a little fangirl. She had crushes on all of these serial killers. Like she fancied all of them. And her favorite serial killers, unimaginatively, were Ted Bundy and Richard Ramirez, especially Richard Ramirez. I think that she idolized him the most. And she had posters of Ted Bundy, Richard Ramirez, all over her bedroom. She downloaded loads of photos of them on her phone. Richard Ramirez was the lock screen. Ted Bundy was the wallpaper. On Instagram, she would post these serial killers like on her main feed, on her stories. And she would be talking about them in like a lustful way. And she would share theories on her Instagram about these killers and how they got away with this murder and everything. And again, that's not necessarily that strange when you come from the true crime community, but she was doing it in a way that she admired them. Like she loved Jack the Ripper and she loved to talk about the theories about like who Jack the Ripper was and stuff. And she actually believed that Jack the Ripper was a woman and that's how they got away with their crimes for so long. And that is a theory, isn't it? There is a theory out there, isn't there, that Jack the Ripper was a woman, because when Jack the Ripper was operating, no one in their right mind would suspect a woman of committing the crimes that they were. But Sarah truly believed that Jack the Ripper was a woman. But I think Sarah was so convinced of this theory because she wanted to be a serial killer. And obviously Jack the Ripper got away with their crimes. So I think Sarah really wanted to try and convince herself that Jack the Ripper was a woman because she wanted to be a serial killer and she wanted to get away with her crimes. And she saw Jack the Ripper, oh, they were a woman, like they got away with their crimes. Do you understand what I mean? That's just my mind running away with me though, as always. But just know that Sarah had a very dark and disturbing obsession with serial killers. She actually drew a pentagram on her palm, like Richard Ramirez. She also drew a very disgusting, derogatory symbol on her arm. And unfortunately, I can't say the word of this symbol because I never, ever like to censor myself. I say everything. You guys know that. I'm sure you guys probably know the symbol that I'm talking about. And in Germany, it's actually illegal to draw this symbol anywhere. I think you can actually go to prison for like 3 years if you're caught doing it. But Sarah obviously wasn't caught drawing this symbol on herself, so she never went to prison. But that is the kind of person that she was, which is great person, isn't it? But her obsession grew and grew, and she started to have very disturbing thoughts. She started to wonder what it would be like to be one of these famous or infamous serial killers. Again, I think this really does just show that she loves attention. She wants to do everything for attention because she wants to be a famous serial killer. What would it like to be a famous serial killer? Because Ted Bundy, Richard Ramirez, Jack the Ripper, and I'm sure she probably idolized Jeffrey Dahmer, John Wayne Gacy, all of like the big infamous serial killers. It was all about what would it be like to be a famous serial killer. I think that's what she's craving, attention and infamy. However, Sarah doesn't jump straight into her murderous fantasies, but we do get back to that shortly because there is something else very significant that happens in Sarah's life when she is 17. And that is that she got a boyfriend. And this was her first boyfriend. And this was a young man called Leon. And I don't know his exact age, but I do think he is around the same age as Sarah. Again, I assume this is because of Germany's strict privacy laws. I don't know anything about him. I do know that Leon struggled with his mental health as well, and he did struggle with drugs as well, and he did have a criminal record. So I think he's probably very similar to Sarah. And it wasn't long until Sarah became absolutely infatuated with him. Like, I mean, truly obsessed, and they would spend all of their time together. Like, they were truly two peas in a pod, and they began sleeping with one another. And this was Sarah's very first relationship, so Leon took her virginity. And I don't know if Sarah took Leon's virginity, not that it matters, but from Sarah's point of view, this is like her first boyfriend. She thinks that she's in love, and maybe she is, I don't know. She's sleeping with Leon, and this is the first person that she's ever slept with. Like, it's just a really intense whirlwind relationship. And Sarah did become a little bit addicted to sex. I think she definitely has a little bit of an obsessive and addictive personality, and sex just kind of went with that. And this relationship, it was really great in the beginning. However, Sarah, as we know, has a bit of a dark side, and she would get angry very quickly. Like, she would go from 0 to 100 instantly. And this was also around the time that Leon found out that Sarah was obsessed with serial killers. Now, Sarah's obsession with serial killers should be a red flag. Like, it really should. Like, literally waving red flag. But Leon didn't see a problem with this. Not that I blame Leon, not at all. I mean, he's young. He's only like 17, possibly 18 himself. But if someone has like an unhealthy obsession with serial killers, fancies them and wants to be like them, red flag. And as time went on, Sarah wanted to make her sexual interactions with Leon more extreme. But Sarah soon started to ask Leon to beat her and choke her during sex. And I'm talking like full on, like beating her up. She really did want to make the sex as violent as possible. And I'm not judging anyone's sex life, not at all. Like, as long as it's between consenting adults, like, you do whatever you want to do. But Sarah constantly wanted more violence, like more and more. Every single time it was more. Nothing was quite satisfying her. And she started to film the sex acts between the two of them. And the relationship went on like this for about 18 months. It was very intense. And Leon, he wasn't completely comfortable with all of this. And he did eventually break up with Sarah. He just had enough of her ways. She was just too much. She was too intense. He wasn't into all of the things that she was into. However, Sarah was absolutely distraught. She was truly obsessed with Leon, but now he's broken up with her. She wanted to be with Leon forever. Like, in Sarah's mind, Leon was the one. So she was absolutely heartbroken. And this almost was a catalyst for what is about to come. Soon after the breakup, Sarah's sadness turned into anger, and she was filled with so much rage towards Leon. She had gone from loving him, wanting to be with him forever, to now she wanted revenge. She wanted revenge for him breaking up with her, for breaking her heart. In the grand scheme of things, like, if someone breaks up with you, if someone hurts you, breaks your heart, you do get angry. Like, anger is not an unusual emotion. However, Sarah, she took it too far. She started to spread rumors about Leon that were just not true. She started telling everyone that Leon choked her, which obviously he probably did during sex, but with her consent. But she wanted everyone else to think that it wasn't with her consent. She also started to tell people that Leon raped her, which I have no evidence that he did do this. Sarah also said that Leon took nude pictures of her and put them on the internet. Again, there is no evidence that he did this. And I never want to accuse anyone of lying of these kinds of things. However, when it comes to Sarah and her personality, she likes attention. She likes the shock value. And it definitely seems that Sarah is just saying all of this out of spitefulness, and she just wants revenge. She wants people to turn against Leon. And no one actually did believe her. No one believed that Leon was capable of all of these things, which only angered Sarah even more. And this is when Sarah decided that she wanted the ultimate revenge. And what was the ultimate revenge when it came to Sarah? Well, she wanted to murder Leon. This has escalated so quickly. But she didn't want to just murder Leon. She wanted to murder hundreds of other men just like him, which again is escalation. It seems like Leon, I don't know why she is so heartbroken. She hates men and she just wants to kill hundreds of men. But we know that this is also what she wants, because she wants to become a serial killer. She idolizes serial killers, and now she almost sees this as her chance at becoming one. She wanted to kill men that represented Leon. And now this is where this case just takes a crazy turn. So following the breakup, we are now at April 2021, which is just 1 month after the breakup. And I just want to stress, 1 month. That is how quickly all of this is escalating. And it was after the 1 month after the breakup that Sarah thought to herself that she wanted to put her serial killing plan plans into action. So first of all, Sarah went to a local hardware store with a friend and she bought a 12-inch camping knife. Now, Sarah at the time wasn't even old enough to purchase this knife herself, which is why she had to take her friend with her. Now, she told her friend that she just wanted this knife for camping, completely innocent. And the friend bought the knife for her. And Sarah decided that a knife was going to be her weapon of choice to be a serial killer. So now that she has her weapon of choice, Sarah needs to figure out, like, how is she going to do this? What is she going to use the knife for? And she actually started to Google, how long does it take someone to die if you stab them in the neck? How long does it take to die if you stab someone in the lung? She was basically Googling what is the most effective way of killing somebody with a knife. Sarah also started to Google infamous serial killers. Now, we know that she's obsessed with Ted Bundy, Richard Ramirez, so she probably knows everything about them. But she was Googling other serial killers and Googling things like, how did blah, blah, blah? So how did Ted Bundy get away with so many murders for so long? She even Googled, what is the best way to become a serial killer? Yeah, she actually Googled that. And this is also around the time that she decided that she did want to be the most prolific serial killer ever. And I just want to say this, not that I am giving advice to anyone, but if you want to be the most prolific serial killer ever, if you never want to get caught, it's probably not the best idea to Google things. So because she wanted to become the most prolific serial killer of all time, she Googled which serial killer has the most victims. And this is when she came across Harold Shipman. Now, I'm sure all of you have heard of Harold Shipman, but he is the British serial killing doctor, and it is likely that he had 218 victims, but it is thought that he could possibly have up to 250. So Sarah actually messaged her friend saying, quote, the biggest serial killer has committed around 250 murders. I'm going to do more than that. She actually messaged her friend saying that. Again, probably not the best idea to literally shout from the rooftop what you want to do. So Sarah had her weapon of choice. She also had a target number of 250 victims. But now she needed to figure out, well, how is she going to get these victims? How is she going to lure these victims to her? And how did she plan on getting these victims? Well, this is when she turned to dating sites. Sarah planned to use online dating sites to lure men to secluded areas, and she planned on killing as many as she possibly could. So on the 28th of April 2021, in the early hours of the morning, Sarah created dating profiles on two dating sites, Badoo and My Sugar Daddy. And in the description of these profiles, she said, quote, a bisexual and 19-year-old virgin who was looking for a good time that also had a strong interest in BDSM. So she was basically trying to make out that she was an innocent virgin, but was also into BDSM. And she uploaded photos of herself in sexy lingerie, and she gave herself the username Domina Cherry. And that is the infamous name that is attached to this case. And this case is obviously German, so Domina is a German word. And I was just like, that sounds like dominatrix. Like, does Domina translate to dominatrix? And it actually does. Domina means dominatrix in German, I think. Anyway, correct me if I'm wrong. And not that this is interesting, but sometimes I fall down the rabbit hole. But Domina in Latin also means lady. So maybe she was calling herself Lady Cherry, or maybe Dominatrix Cherry. I'm going to go for Dominatrix Cherry. I think that's what she was going for. And after creating these profiles, she got a lot of messages very quickly. And on these dating sites, not everyone, of course, but you get creeps. And the fact that she put 19-year-old virgin who is into BDSM and that wants a good time, I think we kind of know the kind of person she was attracting. Now, Sarah wanted to make sure that she was going to go about her serial killing ways properly. So she wanted to be patient because over the next 3 days, she starts chatting with a number of men. She wanted to see if they were the appropriate victim because, you know, she wants to play judge, jury and executioner. And I actually have some of the transcripts of these conversations that she was having. And to be honest, I don't know what her criteria was of whether she judged somebody like good or bad or whether she wanted to kill them or not. Like, I truly just don't know because all of the conversations were pretty much the same. But for example, there was a first man called Sam, and the first message that he sent to Sarah, or should I say Domina Cherry, said, "Would you like to meet up? If so, where?" And Sarah replied, "Sounds good." And then in response to this, the man sends a licking lips emoji before asking Sarah if she had experience with older men. See, like, sorry, creep. Creep, creep. And Sarah replies that yes, she does have experience with older men. She's had one experience with a 28-year-old man, which is not really old, but okay. And Sarah also said that she liked everything. Like, nothing was off the table when it came to the bedroom, and she liked to be in control. And it's like, are you being serious? In one breath, you are claiming to be a virgin, and then in the next, you're saying that you do have experience with older men, and that you like everything in the bedroom, and you like to be in control. Like, which one is it? Surely no one is falling for her being a virgin. Like, surely. So then the man, Sam, replies to Domina Cherry, "Okay, I'm good, but you're over 18, yes? Because, you know, you got to make sure that they're legal." Sarah replies, confirming that she is over 18. And this is when the two of them arrange to meet up on the 3rd of May. And unbelievably, like, we all know, but Sarah is planning on killing this man. But this is not the only man that she's talking to. She's talking to another man named Murad, and this man is a lot more direct. He opens the conversation by saying, quote, "Hope everything is fine with you. When are we meeting, babe?" "No, can we meet? Are you free?" "No, when are we meeting?" So Sarah responds that she can do any day after the 3rd of May because she has already arranged to see Sam on the 3rd of May and she's planning on killing Sam on the 3rd of May. So she is free anytime after that. And the man responds saying, quote, "Sex in the car then." What the hell? How are people this forward? And then Sarah replies saying, "Whatever you want. We can also drive to my cabin. It's really nice and it's in the middle of the forest. It even has heating and an oven." At this point, the man, Murad, reveals that he is a teacher. Oh my God, I'm sorry. That creeps me out even more. She's 18. I'm sorry, he could be her teacher. So Murad responds, quote, "Yes, yes, whatever. I'm into some unusual sexual practices. Is this okay with you?" To which Sarah responds, quote, "Yes, I prefer blindfolds and handcuffs. Make sure to bring this with you." Following this, the two of them arrange to meet on the 4th of May. So the day after she's planning on killing the first man, Sam. I have another example here of where she's messaging a man called Anthony. And Anthony offers himself as a slave to Sarah. He wants Domina Cherry to be his dominatrix. And Sarah agrees to this. And then they arrange to meet on May the 5th. So the day after Murad. And Anthony asks Sarah if she would prefer him to pick her up in his Ford or his Audi. And there were so many conversations like this with so many men. These are just a few examples. Not all of them have actually been made available to the public. In total, over those 3 days, Sarah had conversations with 224 men. 224 men. Let that sink in. Sarah is on a mission here to become the most prolific serial killer, and she really is giving it her best shot. And she was lining up so many dates, or should I say hookups, with these men. And she was lining them up one day after another. She was literally planning on going on a killing spree. She was planning on killing at least one man a day. And this is again when Sarah messaged a friend and told the friend that she was planning to meet up with all of these men one by one and kill them by slitting their throat. I've been trying to give Sarah's friends the benefit of the doubt here because I understand that Sarah does things for shock value and she's one of those people that does things for attention, so you don't always know when to take them seriously. And I don't actually know, it could just be one friend that we're talking about here. I don't know. know because it hasn't been released to the public, but we know that one friend has bought her a knife and she's been messaging other friends or the same friend. We just don't know, but she has been messaging people that she wants to become the most prolific serial killer, that she's going to have more kills. And now she's telling a friend that she has arranged to meet so many men in so many days and she's going to kill them by slitting their throat. I am sorry, how many more red flags, alarm bells do you need? However, before Sarah got around to meeting any of the men that she had arranged to meet up with, another man would pop up in Sarah's private message. A man named Zayed. And this is when Sarah decided that he was going to be her first victim. Zayed was of Iranian descent. And again, we don't know too much about him because of Germany's privacy laws. We don't even know his surname or his date of birth. We don't really know anything. But what we do know is at the time of this case taking place, he was 39 years old and he had moved to Germany from Iraq in 2014. He was living in Germany for approximately 7 years. He was one of six brothers and very sadly, his parents had passed away. Zayed had come to Germany for a new adventure, a new life, a new start. He found a job as a private security guard. He was a huge football fan and he played football as much as he possibly could in his spare time. And he had hoped to settle down. He wanted to start a family. He wanted to find love. And in the spring of 2021, Zayed was browsing through the dating sites. And this is when he came across Domina Cherry. And he decided to message Domina Cherry. It is the 1st of May 2021 at 10:53 a.m. And this is when Zayed decided to message Domina Cherry for the first time. And his message simply read, quote, "Hello, good morning." Sarah quickly responded and said, quote, "What are you looking for here on Badoo?" To which Zayed replies, quote, "Well, I'm a single man looking for anything really." And unlike a lot of the men, Zayed was not looking for a casual hookup. Because not all of the men that Domina Cherry spoke to, not all of them are creeps. Some of them genuinely were looking for love. And Zayed was just one of those men that genuinely was looking for a more serious long-term relationship. So in response, Sarah says, "Want to meet up," followed by a load of kissing emojis, which Zayed responds, "Well, yes, of course." Sarah asks Zayed if he has a car because there is no train station in the town that she lives in, which is just very convenient, isn't it? To which Zayed says, "Yes, he does have a car." And Sarah responds, "Great. Do you want to meet up tonight?" And Zayed agrees to meet up with Sarah on that night, or Domina Cherry. I don't even know if he knows her real name. He arranges to pick up Sarah, aka Domina Cherry, at 8 p.m. at a bus stop before driving to her remote cabin in the woods. And I'm not blaming Zayed here at all, definitely not. But if you're on a dating site, please promise me, if anyone says to you that they're going to take you to a remote cabin in the woods, please run the other way. So following the conversations with Zayed, Sarah then spends her day planning for her first murder. She makes a few more Google searches, like how to hide a body, how long does it take for somebody to bleed out? And whilst she was preparing for this murder, her ex-boyfriend Leon actually shows up. Leon was there to collect a few of his things, and Sarah actually contemplated grabbing her knife right there and then and stabbing and killing her ex-boyfriend. But it turns out that Leon was actually scared that Sarah might do something like this, which I think is very telling. So he brought along one of his friends to wait outside just in case something happened. And Leon told his friend that if he tugged on the curtains inside the house or if he didn't come out of the house in 10 minutes that his friend should storm the house. And because Sarah realized that Leon's friend was there, she decided against murdering Leon right there and then. But I guarantee you, she still at some point planned on killing Leon because he was the trigger for all of this. I mean, I think she wanted to be a serial killer before Leon broke up with her, but it does seem like the breakup was the trigger. So after Leon left at around 7:30 p.m. that evening, Sarah phones up one of her close friends, a woman called Franziska, but her friend doesn't answer the phone, so she leaves her a voicemail. And oh my God, this voicemail. So the voicemail says, quote, "I'm going out now. I want to kill my first. I'm excited. Wish me luck, it works. I just cannot get over this girl. I really, truly cannot. How does she think that she's going to get away with this?" And then she follows up by saying, quote, "The plan is for me to say, hey man, I have a surprise for you. Close your eyes." And this is when Sarah goes on to say that she plans on stabbing the man that she's meeting. And at the end of the voicemail, Sarah starts making sounds of imitating stabbing. And it's just sick. It truly is. And following the voicemail, Sarah sends a WhatsApp message to Franziska saying, quote, "Going to go all natural born killers now. Wish me luck." Sarah then films a video of herself dancing around with her knife in her waistband. Now, following this, the friend, Franziska, when she received the voicemail and she saw the WhatsApp message, she was actually concerned that her friend genuinely was going out to kill somebody. And she started to panic. However, she wasn't panicking that a potentially innocent person was about to get murdered. Oh no, she started to panic that she was going to get into trouble, because she actually Googled, "Are you punished if you know about attempted murder?" And obviously, yes, that is a crime. Not 100% sure about German law, but I assume it's a crime in Germany as well. However, does she go to the police to report that her good friend is about to go and murder somebody? No. She just ignores the situation. And what is just truly annoying is that if Franziska had gone to the police, the outcome of this case could have been so different. So now we get to 8 p.m. on the 1st of May. And tragically, this is where everything would now go wrong for Zayed. Because at around 8 p.m., Zayed arrives at the bus stop. He messages Sarah, "I'm here," to which Sarah approaches the car and climbs inside. The two of them immediately start chatting. And Sarah is putting on the charm, you know? She's flirting. She's trying to make Zayed really comfortable. And she starts giving instructions to Zayed about how to get to her remote cabin in the woods. And I just want to stress here, she doesn't have a cabin in the woods. So they're driving for a little while and it is now 8:30 p.m. Sarah instructs Zayed to turn down a remote dirt road. Now, I don't know what Zayed was thinking at this moment. He knew that he was going to a remote cabin in the woods, so I don't know if he would have found this suspicious. Maybe he did. Maybe he was a bit hesitant. We just do not know. However, eventually Sarah asks Zayed to pull over. So they are currently at a standstill. Sarah gets out her phone and asks Zayed to look at something on her phone to distract him. And when Zayed is distracted, Sarah pulls out her 12-inch knife and stabs him in the neck. Zayed immediately screams out. He doesn't have a clue what is happening. The knife has hit his carotid artery and his neck is pouring with blood. However, despite the injury, Zayed is still alive and he instantly starts grappling with Sarah to try and get the knife off of her. And at this point, Sarah panics because this hasn't gone to plan. She wants to be this like really scary serial killer, and I think she was probably expecting to kill Zayed straight away. I mean, she's done research. How long does it take someone to bleed out? Like, what is the most effective way to use a knife? Like, how to kill somebody? She's done all of this research. So Sarah panics and she flees from the car, hoping that Zayed would just bleed out, but he doesn't. Incredibly, Zayed manages to put enough pressure on his neck, on his wound, to stop the bleeding, and he manages to get out of his car and he stumbles all the way back to the main road. And once he is at the main road, he is trying to flag a car down, and a car pulls over with two people inside, and one of the people inside this car is a nurse, which is truly a miracle. So this nurse obviously has more knowledge than the average person on what to do. The nurse treats Zayed's wound. An ambulance is immediately called. And when the paramedics get there, Zayed is still alive. He is rushed to hospital. However, Zayed, he's in a terrible state. Even though he's alive, his condition is still critical. And he soon slips into a coma. But the doctors still do everything that they can to try and save his life. So now back to Sarah, because obviously she has fled Zayed's car. And she is fleeing on foot. And she soon turns up in the next town. And she was walking about this town and oh my God, did she look a state. First of all, she had no shoes on. Why does she have no shoes on? I do not know. Did she take her shoes off in Zayed's car? Like, I don't know. But she has no shoes on. Her tights are completely ripped. I assume her tights are ripped because she's been running through like woodland area. Because remember, she's been running off a dirt road. So maybe she's fallen over. So her tights are completely ripped. She is covered in blood. And she's just walking around this town, like looking like a zombie, basically. She is so pale. And passers-by notice that she keeps muttering under her breath, "I'm a murderer. I'm a murderer." It's something straight out of a horror film. So seeing Sarah in this state, someone calls the police because they are concerned. I mean, wouldn't you be seeing someone like that? And just 37 minutes after the attack, Sarah, aka Domina Cherry, is arrested. And I can't believe it. I mean, I'm so glad that she has been arrested so quickly. But her great big plan of becoming the most prolific serial killer, getting away with all of these murders, didn't really work out, did it? Because she was arrested only 37 minutes later. And when she was being read her rights, police asked Sarah what the hell happened. Because obviously they had just been called about this woman walking around looking a state covered in blood. They didn't actually know what she had done. They actually asked Sarah if she had killed somebody in self-defense. Had she killed an abusive boyfriend? Which is so stereotypical. They wouldn't have asked a man that, would they? And I think that is exactly what Sarah was hoping for, that because she was a woman, she would be able to get away with all of this. But Sarah actually responded, "No, I just wanted to cut someone's throat and watch them die." She actually said that to the police. So Sarah is in custody and doctors are desperately trying to save Zayed's life. But he remained in a coma for over 2 weeks. His family from Iraq flew in. They were at his bedside the whole time. All they wanted was for him to wake up. They hoped and they prayed that Zayed would wake up. They just wanted to talk to him for one last time, say goodbye. But he never woke up from that coma. And after 19 days in a coma, Zayed sadly passed away and his family were absolutely devastated. So whilst in custody, Sarah's charges were upgraded from attempted murder to now murder. But did Sarah show any remorse now that Zayed has died? No. None at all. Only remorse that she showed was for herself. And whilst Sarah was in custody, she was having the time of her life. She rambled on to as many people as she could that it was a shame that she got caught so soon because she was planning on becoming a serial killer. She had so many murders planned and she said that she was planning on committing a murder every single day. And I think based on the dates that she had arranged, I believe that that was her intention. Whilst in prison, Sarah also got a lot of male attention because she was in a unisex prison and I think she was only one of maybe two or three female prisoners in this prison. And all the men in this prison hailed her as a hero. They would cheer for her every time she walked past. They would call her a star. They would show her so much attention and I bet she loved every single moment of that. But I will say, I'm very confused. Why are these male prisoners showing her so much attention? Why are they hailing her a hero? Do they not know who she wants to murder? She wants to murder men. Like, she hates men. It is so bizarre. Also, while she was in prison, Sarah asked her mom to send in a load of money because Sarah wanted to buy a load of new clothes so she could look really good in prison. And when I read this, I was like, what do you mean? Like, what do you mean she wants to buy clothes to wear in prison? So it turns out that the prison that Sarah was in, she was allowed to wear her own civilian clothes and she was allowed to buy new clothes and she was allowed to wear them. And I think that's pretty common in Germany, which sounds so bizarre to me. But Sarah was not actually too thrilled about wearing her own clothes because she wanted to wear a quote, hot orange jumpsuit, just like all of her idols, all of the American serial killers, all of them wore orange jumpsuits and she wanted to wear one too. Also, when she was in prison, Sarah asked if she was allowed to put up a Ted Bundy and Richard Ramirez poster in her cell. Thankfully, those requests were denied. But her antics in prison do not stop there. Oh no. There was one time where Sarah's mom visited her in prison and Sarah asked if her mom could go out and murder her ex-boyfriend Leon, which thankfully her mom mom refused, but wow, this girl does not give up. And in May of 2022, which was not that long ago, Sarah finally went to trial. And as you can probably guess, Sarah showed no remorse to Zayed, anything that she'd done, like nothing, like she couldn't care less. I think she was loving the whole thing. I think she was loving her time in the spotlight. Zayed's family had flown in again from Iraq and she showed them no respect, no remorse. She didn't apologize, nothing. She just wanted to be the center of attention. She wanted to be remembered. She wanted a memorable trial. She wore very heavy eye makeup. She bought a new leather jacket for the occasion, which she wore. She dyed her hair red. Yeah, I haven't even said that. She dyed her hair red. She asked her mom to buy her some hair dye. She dyed her hair red for the trial. And Sarah was very open about what she had done. She never denied anything. She was an open book. Sarah said in the trial that she planned to be an infamous serial killer, that she wanted to be the most prolific serial killer. She was very open about all of the men that she had spoken to on the dating site and the fact that she wanted to kill a man every single day. However, somebody that she kept bringing up in trial was her ex-boyfriend Leon. She said that he was the one that started all of this. He was to blame. He was the reason why she hated men. He was the reason why she wanted to kill men. Again, she was saying all of the lies that she told about Leon. She said in the trial that Leon had choked her, abused her, raped her, that Leon had also tried to kill her. And that is why she wanted to kill men like Leon, because Leon was a bad person. However, all of this is lies. Leon was actually called to testify in the trial, which I think came at a bit of a shock for Sarah, because I don't think she was expecting him to turn up, because when he turned up, she went crazy. She tried to break free from her restraints and get to Leon. I don't know what she was planning on doing. Was she planning on killing him right there and then? I don't know. However, she was eventually pinned down. She never actually got to Leon. But when Leon was on the stand giving his evidence, he denied all of the accusations that she had thrown at him. And I do want to stress that there is zero evidence to support any of those accusations. And Leon had said that their whole relationship, she was obsessed with serial killers, that she spoke about the fact that she wanted to become a serial killer. But Leon, he just never believed her. He never believed that she truly was going to become a serial killer. And the whole time Leon was on the stand, Sarah was just bawling her eyes out. The prosecution in the trial went on to say how incredibly dangerous Sarah was. And it was incredibly lucky that she was apprehended so quickly, because if she had managed to get away, she could have gone undetected for days and possibly murdered more men. And I agree. She was planning on killing as many people as she could. She just killed one person in cold blood. We know about 3 dates that she had lined up, and I'm sure there was more. I just don't know, because all of the information hasn't been released to the public. And I can guarantee you that if she had gotten away, she would have gone through with those dates. And I think we all know that she probably would have murdered those men. The prosecution also went on to say that Sarah chose victims indiscriminately, that the only reason that she chose Zayed to be her victim was, one, because he had a car, and two, because he had no children. That was clearly her standard of like what passed of being a victim. Clearly, if you had children, that was a no-go. It's crazy, isn't it, that she really does think that she's judge, jury, and executioner. She just chose people to be her victim because it was easy. She just wanted the thrill of the kill. And Zayed was just incredibly unlucky to find himself in the wrong place at the wrong time. In the end, because of Sarah's age when she committed the murder, which she was 18, this was determined to be a mitigating factor. And she was sentenced to 12 years in a psychiatric unit, which is incredibly short if you ask me. I mean, yes, she is 18. That is still incredibly young, but she is still an adult. And at the end of the sentencing, Sarah held up her left palm, and on that palm, she had drew a pentagram. Now, does that remind you of anybody else? Richard Ramirez. That is probably the most infamous picture of Richard Ramirez, one of them anyway. It is crazy how much she is obsessed with, especially Richard Ramirez. And then we have one more person to address, Fran Ziska. Remember, she was the friend that Sarah had left that voicemail for and that WhatsApp message basically saying, "I'm going to go and kill my first person. Wish me luck." And then Fran Ziska Googled, Can you get in trouble if you know about an attempted murder? Well, obviously, she did know about a potential attempted murder, and then that murder actually did go ahead. And because she didn't report it, she could be facing 5 years in prison. However, for reasons I do not know, the charges were dropped, and Franziska never got into any trouble for knowing about the murder. So Sarah is now behind bars. She spends every single day eating a vegetarian diet, doing her daily workouts, watching TV, which doesn't really sound like prison, does it? But she could be released in 11 years at the age of only 31, which is so, so young. And oh my God, I mean, she has been sentenced to a psychiatric unit, and I'm not quite sure of the laws surrounding that in Germany, but she might spend more time in that psychiatric unit because she has been sentenced to 12 years. Normally when you are sentenced to a psychiatric unit instead of prison, it's more indefinite stay. You stay basically until you are treated, and you stay for as long as you are no longer a danger to society. And I just hope that whenever Sarah is released, if she ever is released, that she has been treated and that she no longer will be a danger to the public, because it is very scary to think about Sarah at only 31 years old wanting to become a serial killer and the most prolific serial killer in history, being released and able to walk the streets at 31 years old. And the victim of today's case, Zayed, unfortunately, we don't really know too much about him. However, I do know that his family were absolutely heartbroken and devastated. They set up a fundraiser to bring Zayed's body back to his home country of Iraq to be buried. And they also said that Zayed was an incredible person. He had an amazing heart. And it is just so sad that Zayed, he wanted to settle down. He wanted to find love, and he wanted to start a family. And now all of that has been taken away because of one person who wanted to go down in history because she wanted to become a serial killer. And that brings us to the end of the episode on Domina Cherry. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening today. Subscribe or follow to make sure you never miss an episode of The Criminal Makeup. And if you enjoy the podcast, it would really mean a lot if you could leave a 5-star review. In the meantime, if you have been affected by any of the themes in this episode, please take the time to look at the description for this episode for some helpful resources. Special thanks to my producers at Audio Boom Studios, and I'll see you all in the next one.